In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Lent is almost upon us. We'll be saying the gospel for the prodigal son tomorrow. And it's such an important parable that I want to speak about it twice, this time about the older son. To be honest with you, I think it is very critical for us to understand the younger son, because if we don't understand repentance and that God will receive our repentance, then we'll never be in the situation of the older son. Most people are enslaved to their sins and need to know that God will receive their repentance, but they also have to know how to repent. This parable teaches us all that. But there are other ways to lose your soul other than the ways that the younger son was exercising himself. Of course, prodigality and the sins of the flesh and love of pleasure and selfishness and all those things will definitely kill the soul. But so also will judgment and hatred. And those sins the older son was guilty of. And I say hatred because if you do not love, you hate. You should think of it in a binary way. Either you love or you hate. This idea that there's an in-between state is really incorrect. It's not scriptural. Either we love as God loves, or we should consider that we are hating. So by that measure, we're all guilty of hatred. We're all guilty of judgment of others. And this is a snare which most people fall into. The son, the older son, obviously saw that his younger brother had come back and his father had received him. He was angry. He was jealous. And with his jealousy came that pride and that judgment of his brother. This brother has wasted thy living on harlots. Yeah, that's true. That was true. But his son was come back and was lost and now is found. And his older brother, the older brother, was incapable of rejoicing in this. This is terrible. This is evil. This is wicked. This is demonic. A lot of people are going to lose their souls that don't do any bad things in their mind. They don't fornicate, they're not drunkards, they don't swear, all kinds of other things. And yet, in their hearts, they're full of judgment and hatred. I've had people refer to me before, talk to me about somebody they know who was super religious, went to all the services, fasted and prayed, but had hatred in their heart towards other individuals, never would speak well of them. This is a terrible sin. Now, the only sure way to get to heaven is to not judge. The Lord has said that very clearly. If you don't judge, God will not judge you. So this is very critical to understand the sin of the younger son or of the older son. His sin was much worse than the younger son's, because a sin of judgment of others and hatred of others and this self-satisfaction that we can manufacture in ourselves, this sin is very difficult to eradicate. In my experience as a priest, when I see someone have this sin, they're not aware of it. And when they're made aware of it, they're angry. And they justify themselves. And they will fall into the pit of hell if they don't find their way away from this sin. This older brother reminds me of St. James, when he talks about the man who looks in a mirror and he goes away and then he forgets who he is. This older son did not understand that he was a sinner, and only by God's grace, his father in the parable, would he be able to do anything good. This older son reminds me of the unmerciful debtor. Now, the son didn't think that he had done anything so terrible that he would have debts. But we know that he did do terrible things. To hate his brother, and to have an outlook on life that was basically, in many ways, secular. Oh, he did according to the law, because, of course, the father in the parable is God. And so the inference in a parable given to Jewish people is that he fulfilled the law. He didn't transgress the law. Well, the law to many Jews and to people nowadays, too. It's a legalistic thing. You don't do this, you don't do that. when actually the law is summed up by love of God and love of neighbor. And in this way, the son, the older one, failed miserably. So he's like the unmerciful debtor who, although he has debts himself, wants to judge his brother, his literal brother in this case. I'm also reminded of the parable of the workers in the vineyard and how some work from the beginning of the day in the heat of the sun and others at the 11th hour, having been idle all day long, are called to work. And they only work for an hour and they get the same pay. And there are people who are angry about that. We must guard ourselves against this, brothers and sisters. We are the debtors. We are the prodigals. No matter how good you are, no matter whether or not you fall into a lot of sins or whether or not your life is very orderly, we are prodigals and debtors. And if we do not recognize this, we will not be saved. That's why our hymnology is so important. It's very much against what the world believes. The world does not want to think of itself as sinful. They think it's neurotic to think that way. Even many Orthodox Christians think that way. It is good to remind yourself that you are a sinner. And that's what our hymns do and our prayers, if you say them. The ones in the morning, the ones in the evening, the Psalter. Anything in Vespers and Matins, the Midnight Office, is full of compunctionate hymns admitting to God that we are sinners. If you don't do this often, you will forget. Because it is human nature to forget. It's human nature to puff up yourself and to think you're better than others. Well, in one way, with God helping us, we are better than others. Perhaps there are sins that you do not commit or no longer commit. Glory be to God for this, that God has helped you to get out of the mire. But we can't judge our brother who's still in the mire, or else, in essence, we're right back in it. And that's what happened to this older son. We must remember our sins. The fathers have many sayings that are kind of similar to this one. It's better to be humble and be a sinner than to be righteous and to be proud. Now, of course, the person who's righteous and proud, that's an oxymoron. You can't be righteous and proud. But people measure righteousness, and we do too, by the stuff you do and the stuff you don't do. Not really so much the stuff you think in the privacy of your own head. God measures righteousness with what you think, even more than what you do. So if we think like God, then we know that we're not righteous and we don't judge others. Now there's a common problem that men have, meaning mankind, of course. I have it. I'll bet you every one of you has it. It's difficult to have joy over when a sinner repents. Somebody that we think is not worthy in some ways. Somebody that has done a lot of bad things. There's a piece of us that wants them to suffer. Let's admit it. It's in our hearts. There's a piece of us that, let's say, when someone has hurt us, and we see them doing well, our heart is twisted in some way. It's a terrible sin. We should fear that sin more than fornication. The prodigal son, he repented of his fornication, and his father received him. But the elder son would not so much as receive his father. And so he was lost. The one who had not fornicated, the one who had not wasted his father's living, the one who had always been obedient to his father in outward things. It's one of the saddest places in all of Scripture when the elder son refuses the love of his father. That's what he did. He refused it because he wanted things on his terms. He wanted the younger son to be punished. It wasn't so much that he wanted to have a party like the younger son had. He was angry because his father loved his brother, because he thought his brother was unworthy of love. We have to guard against this in our hearts. You know, to be honest with you, I hear a lot of things in confession. I hear things like, you know, I did this, I did that. But I don't hear too often when people say, I think wrong. I don't love my brother. I get jealous when I see people have things that I don't have that I don't think they deserve. I don't love my brother. I don't hear that so often. And it is my intuition that it is a rare person that does not struggle with such thoughts about people, judgment of people, anger towards people. Sometimes people we know, sometimes people we do not know. This is a sure path to heaven if we just don't judge one another. It's absolutely secure. And this older brother shows that problem that is present in just about all of us. Anger towards our brothers. Judgment of them. Sort of taking on the role of God. We wouldn't say it that way, but that's what we're doing. So may God deliver us from the sins of the elder son. This parable is so powerful in its depiction of repentance and all the symbols that are present and the labor of the younger son to go back to his father, and how his father was waiting for him. All that's very powerful, very important. But let us not be a younger son that gets old and becomes like the older son. God will receive our repentance. But I'll tell you, the wolf is always baying outside. The lion is always waiting to devour. And the way he devours those who are righteous is through judgment, through anger, through hatred of brother. So as we are rescued from our sins, we must always remember who we are. We must, or else we'll be lost. That's what the predicament of the elder son teaches us. May God help us to always remember who we are, that God has delivered us from our sins, or perhaps we could say is delivering us from our sins. Always work on loving your brother. You should fight that sin of not loving your brother, of judging your brother, of anger towards him, of thinking that he doesn't deserve something more than anything else. And truly, it is more destructive to the soul than fornication, because it is more a absolute repudiation of the greatest commandment and the one that is like it. Basically, you can measure sins in that way. The more a sin is against the greatest commandment, the worse it is. So let us remember who we are. Let us be prodigals that return to God and never forget where we came from. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.